and welcome back to Weird on the Rocks. This is a podcast that explores the weird, unusual, strange, and unexplained, all while getting our drink on. I'm your host, Katie. In today's episode, I'm going to cover the disappearance of a woman named Rebecca Corium, who went missing on a Disney cruise ship in 2011. If you're like me, you probably have not heard of this disappearance because it was not widely covered, and some would say it was actually purposely not given any media attention. This episode was actually originally supposed to be about disappearances on cruise ships, and I was going to briefly cover several different people who had gone missing on cruise ships, but when I started researching Rebecca Corium, I realized that I had enough information just on her disappearance alone to dedicate an entire episode to it. Cruises are a very popular vacation destination for lots of people, and many choose them for family vacations, honeymoons, anniversary trips, I mean, anything. People love cruises. I myself have never been on a cruise, but I have friends who are big cruise fans, say that three times fast, and have gone on multiple cruises. I actually asked on my Instagram if my followers had ever been on a cruise, and 45% said they had. But with this poll, I actually received several messages from people saying that they are interested in cruises and would love to go on one, but they are scared for multiple different reasons. And I myself have also always been intrigued by the idea of going on a cruise, and I've brought it up to my husband before because you can really get a good bang for your buck if you find the right one, because you get to stop in all these different ports and visit multiple countries for way less money than if you visited them separately. However, my husband always says that he feels kind of weird about being confined on a boat out in the middle of the ocean, not just for safety purposes, but he feels like he'd feel very confined, restricted, you know, which I kind of thought was silly. But after researching this case and just thinking about that issue more in depth, I completely understand his concerns. And I don't think I will be going on a cruise anytime soon. You're basically, you know, on a floating city surrounded by complete strangers with nowhere to go. If something were to happen, even if, you know, you were to get sick or something, sure, they have doctors on board, but there's not a lot you can do out in the middle of the ocean. You know, usually this doesn't turn into a problem. Most people, I'm sure, have a wonderful time. But when people from all over the world are in such close quarters and there is zero vetting or background checks on anyone on the ship, there's bound to be issues and crimes committed. I also like to put a quick trigger warning on this episode, as I will be discussing suicide. You can find Weird on the Rocks on Facebook and Instagram at Weird on the Rocks Podcast, Twitter at Weird_Rocks, and the website weirdontherocks.weebly.com. Please subscribe to the show wherever you're listening now so that you always get the newest episode right when it's released. Before we get into the good stuff, I want to share this week's beverage of choice. Tonight, I'm drinking a hot buttered rum. These are one of my favorite seasonal drinks, and it's just perfect on a cold, gloomy day like we're having today. I use just store-bought mix, but you can easily make your own. And then I used spiced rum and hot water, but you can use bourbon or brandy and milk instead of water to make it a little bit richer. I remember my mom used to buy the hot buttered rum mix during the holidays and kept it in the fridge. And I was a real rascal of a kid and would sneak spoonfuls of it and eat it on its own, which is foul when I think about it. I also used to sneak drinks of my grape flavored cough medicine, which now as an adult and a mother kind of terrifies me, but I ended up okay, I think. All right, that could be a whole different podcast about the weird stuff I did as a child, but all right, well, let's get into it. Cheers, and let's get weird. Rebecca Corriam was born on March 11th, 1987, in Chester, England, to parents Mike and Anna Maria. Friends and family described Rebecca as happy, cheerful, and bubbly, with a love for sports, the outdoors, animals, and reading. Rebecca attended a Catholic high school and was also part of the British Army Cadets, which is a national youth organization sponsored by the UK's Ministry of Defense. After high school, Rebecca attended Plymouth University, where she studied sports science. She lived with her parents, sister Rachel, and two foster siblings. Rebecca loved animals and worked at the Chester Zoo and also had jobs at a hotel and as a camp counselor. But she wanted to get out of her hometown and travel and thought, what better way than to work on a cruise ship? The cruise line industry is tough to get into and there is a lot of competition for jobs. But in 2010, she applied for a position on the Disney Wonder, which was the second ship to join the Disney Cruise Line. The ship has 11 decks, 875 rooms, and can accommodate 2,400 passengers and 950 crew members. After interviewing, Rebecca was offered a job as a youth worker, which consisted of working in the kids' zones of the boat and was given a four-month contract. She began the job in the spring of 2011 at the age of 24. As part of her training, she worked several days at Disneyland and had a great time and was very excited about this new opportunity. Quickly after starting her new job, Rebecca met 29-year-old Tracy Medley at a crew party. Tracy was also a Disney Cruise Line employee, and although Tracy was in a relationship with a man, she was also interested in women and had an instant connection with Rebecca, and the two danced and flirted all night at the crew party. 6 years after Rebecca's disappearance, Tracy would speak to the media about Rebecca and their relationship. Tracy says the two of them quickly began spending time together and took their relationship to a romantic level. However, she was still dating her boyfriend, Devin Hyde, who was a bartender on the ship. But at the time of meeting Rebecca, he was on shore leave, which is the time in between contracts when employees can go home. Also around this time, Rebecca's grandfather passed away and she took 2 weeks off to return home to attend his funeral and spend time with family. Rebecca returned to work and once again set sail on the Disney Wonder, which would leave from the port of Los Angeles and travel along the Mexican Riviera. But at this point, Tracy's boyfriend, Devin Hyde, had returned from shore leave and was now also on the boat. Tracy says that she did not tell Devin about her relationship with Rebecca and that Rebecca was very upset when she saw the two of them together on the ship. Tracy also said that Rebecca admitted to being in love with her and that she felt Tracy was just using her as an experiment to test if she was really interested in women. And Rebecca said she now wanted to leave the ship. The next day, the ship left the port of LA and headed to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Rebecca was very good about staying in contact with her parents while on the boat and sent them a Facebook message that morning saying they were leaving port and she would call them that night. But on March 22nd, as the ship was passing the coast of Mexico, Rebecca did not call her mother as she said she would, which was unusual. But later that night, Rebecca's mom did receive a call from the Disney Wonder. However, it was not Rebecca. It was a crew member telling her that Rebecca was missing. Rebecca was scheduled to work that morning at 9 a.m., but did not show up. The crew looked for Rebecca in her room, but it was empty, and they could not find her anywhere on the boat and did not receive any communication from her after paging her over the ship's public intercom. The only physical evidence retrieved was one flip-flop sandal that was found on deck 5 and was believed to belong to Rebecca. The crew looked at the ship's security footage, which showed that early that morning at 5:45 a.m., Rebecca was on deck 1 in the crew's quarters talking on one of the ship's phones. Those who know Rebecca say that in the footage, she seems upset, as though she possibly was having an argument with someone on the phone. She also appears to be wearing men's clothing that are too big for her. The video also shows a crew member walking past Rebecca while she was on the phone and asking her if she was okay, to which she replied, "Yeah, I'm fine." Rebecca hung up the phone, ran her hands through her hair, put her hands in the back pocket of her jeans, and walks away. This would be the last known sighting of Rebecca Corriam. The search for her continued, which included interviewing crew members. Several of them reported seeing Rebecca the night before, having drinks with Tracy and Devin at the crew bar. She supposedly looked very happy and normal. Tracy claims that they returned to her room where Rebecca initiated a threesome between her, Tracy, and Devin. Tracy says that things were going well until her and Devin were together solo and said, quote, "The way she looked at us, it was like it was fun when it was her and him and me and her. But for her to see us together, I think she was like, what am I doing here?" End quote. Tracy says that Rebecca took a shower, then said she was going for a walk. She claims she asked Rebecca if she was coming back, and she said yes, and to leave the door unlocked for her. Tracy says she went to sleep, but when she woke up the next morning, Rebecca wasn't there. With the information that their daughter was missing, Rebecca's parents flew out to Los Angeles so they could be waiting in the port when the ship docked. Upon arriving in LA, her parents were told that the FBI would not be involved in the search for their daughter, and that no U.S. organization would be investigating, even though the ship was stationed in L.A. And no organization from the U.K. would be involved either, even though Rebecca was British and the company headquarters are in the U.K. Rebecca's mother, Anna Maria, said, quote, "Everything was staged by Disney. We were taken in a car with blacked-out windows to the boat's back entrance as passengers disembarked at the front. They took us to a room where they showed us CCTV footage of Rebecca where she largely appeared to be fine." End quote. The ship also planned to continue on with their usual schedule of dropping off passengers and bringing on a whole new group of passengers just a few hours later, leaving Rebecca's parents only a window of a few hours upon the Disney Wonder. And by the time her parents stepped foot on the boat, Rebecca had already been missing for 3 days. It also took the Disney Wonder 3 days to contact the Royal Bahamian Police Force, whose jurisdiction the investigation would fall under, because for tax purposes, the ship is registered in the Bahamas. They sent out one detective named Paul Roll, who looked into Rebecca's disappearance for only 1 day and spoke to only 6 employees and no passengers. Crew members who helped search for Rebecca said that the detective did not seem to be very experienced and seemed overwhelmed with the task at hand. The Disney Wonder also contacted the Mexican Coast Guard, who searched the waters around the ship but found nothing. Once upon the ship, Rebecca's parents were able to speak directly with the captain and asked him what he believed happened to their daughter. He told them that he believed she had an upsetting phone call, went up to the top deck to get some air and think, and that there was a rogue wave that knocked her overboard. Wikipedia defines a rogue wave as, quote, "Rogue waves are unusually large, unpredictable, and suddenly appearing surface waves that can be extremely dangerous to ships, even to large ones," end quote. And about rogue waves, National Geographic says, quote, "A rogue wave is usually defined as a wave that is 2 times the significant wave height of the area. Rogue waves can disable and sink even the largest ships and oil rigs," end quote. Detective Roll from the Royal Bahamian Police Force also agreed that he believed Rebecca was knocked off the side of the boat into the sea. Rebecca's parents went to the spot on the ship that it was believed Rebecca fell from and immediately did not believe the captain and detective's story, as they saw for themselves that the railing was much too high for someone to accidentally fall over. When asked in an interview, quote, "What did you make of the possibility of it being dangerous, that it could have been some kind of accident?" end quote. To which her mother, Anna Maria, said, quote, "We didn't think that was possible. I had to get underneath at least a 4-foot rail where there was a huge metal ledge, and I couldn't even see over it. It was really quite high. I don't see how anyone could have gone over, or how, if they wanted to take their own life, even could have gone over from that particular part of the ship," end quote. Rebecca's parents did not believe the theory of her accidentally falling over and were adamant that she would not take her life. They believed that someone had done something to their daughter. Eventually, the Disney Wonder released a statement regarding Rebecca's disappearance, in which they said they were heartbroken to have had Rebecca go missing on their ship, but that all questions needed to be directed to the Royal Bahamian Police. Rebecca's parents said they were not given any official report from the Bahamian Police regarding the disappearance of their daughter, and Disney's final conclusion was that a rogue wave knocked Rebecca off the ship. In October of 2011, 7 months after Rebecca's disappearance, a journalist for The Guardian named John Ronson took special interest in the story and decided to book a trip on the Disney Wonder for the exact same route as Rebecca's voyage. One of the first things Ronson noticed was that you would never know that a woman had gone missing and was still missing. In his article titled "Rebecca Corium Lost at Sea," Ronson says, quote, "I wander into one of the bars and get talking to a waiter. 'What's it like working here?' I ask. 'It's all about the show,' he replies. 'When you're out among the guests, you're always on show, even if you're a waiter or a cleaner or a deckhand. How long have you been on board? I ask. 7 months. I'll be going home in 40 days. 44 to be exact. He laughs. 7 months is long enough. Being away from your family is hard. Were you on board when Rebecca Corium vanished? I ask. He narrows his eyes. I don't know anything about it, he says. There's a long silence. It didn't happen, he says. He looks at me. You know that's the answer I have to give. End quote. John Ronson was able to spend several days on board the Disney Wonder and see for himself the layout of the ship. He concluded that the only place Rebecca could have fallen from was the jogging track on deck 4, which would make sense because Rebecca was very fit and enjoyed exercising. He says, quote, the railings everywhere else are just too high. My theory is that after the 5:45 a.m. phone call, she went for a jog and slipped. So I'm surprised to spot 4 CCTV cameras on deck 4, 2 on the port side, 2 on the starboard, evidently capturing every inch of the deck. They're hard to see at first as they're shaped like long tubes and look like some kind of nautical equipment. End quote. While on deck 4, Ronson was able to speak to a crew member seen polishing some rails. He says, quote, I sidle up to the man doing the varnishing. That girl who went missing back in March, I say, she must have fallen from this deck. He looks surprised. No, she went from deck 5. But there's no outside space on deck 5, I say. Go to deck 10. Walk to the front of the ship and look down, he says. You'll see the crew swimming pool. That's where she went from, the starboard side. How do you know this? I ask him. I was on the ship that day. Everyone knows. How? I ask. They found her slipper, he says. I walk up to deck 10 and look down, and I see it. The crew swimming pool looks nice, bigger than most of the guest pools, but it's the swimming pool equivalent of an inside cabin. There is no view of the ocean because behind the railings is a high steel wall. It reaches well above head height. There's no way someone could have accidentally fallen from there. Back on deck 4, the man is still varnishing. I saw it, I say. God bless her, he says. It must be a very intense life working on the Disney Wonder, I say. You've got those tiny claustrophobic cabins. The passengers are very demanding. You work every day for 6 months. You have to be a Disney-type person the whole time, even when you're varnishing railings. He looks at me as if I'm nuts. We don't spend any time in our cabins, he says. We just sleep and shower there. We spend our free time in the mess hall or by the crew pool. A group of his fellow deck workers join us. Disney aren't slave masters, one says. We get to go on shore. We get breaks. Everything you've got up here, we've got down there. He points to the bowels of the ship. We've got a library, a gym, a games room, a swimming pool. I don't have a flat screen TV or a gym at home. I have them here. The only thing I miss is my family. But all that having to be on show for the guests all the time, I say. All the big smiles and happiness, someone replies. It's all real. You couldn't act that. Disney wouldn't hire you if you weren't that sort of person, someone else says. What about Rebecca Corium, I say. Did you know her? A few of them nod. She was a lovely girl, one says. Not emotional. Just like everyone here. Nice and friendly and happy. Then why, I say. I don't know, he shrugs, but there's nothing dark or sinister going on. This is Disney. Over the next few days, I ask more people, and every time I get the exact same response. She jumped from the front of Deck 5 at the crew pool. Disney knows exactly what happened, one crew member tells me. That phone call she had, it was taped. Everything here is taped. There's CCTV everywhere. Disney has the tapes. What's in the tape? I ask her. I don't know, but I know someone who knew her well. Would you like me to introduce you? And so, after everyone has gone to bed, I have a brief conversation with one of Rebecca's closest friends on the ship. Do you know what was in the tape? I ask him. He shakes his head. Not exactly. I know she was having a fight with her partner. He pauses. What's it ever about? It's about love, relationships. There's no mystery. She was just a lovely girl with underlying sadness. End quote. John Ronson also spoke to a crew member who had another opinion on what could have happened to Rebecca. He says, quote, the next morning, as we sail back into the port of Los Angeles, a crew member beckons me over. He says he's heard I've been asking questions about Rebecca Corium, and he wants me to know that suicide is not the only possibility. Maybe, he says, after the phone call, she took a walk to clear her head, and the wind lifted her away. But the steel wall is so high down there, I say. I was on the ship that day, he says. It was a rocky day. One time a friend of mine was called early in the morning. The deck by the crew pool was really windy and slippy, and someone was walking there, and my friend was called to get them inside. Disney took it really seriously. The guy got sent home. So she could have fallen, I ask. She could have fallen, he says. End quote. Ronson was also able to speak with Rebecca's parents, who voiced to him their disappointment and frustration in regards to the lack of information given to them by Disney, and that they felt left out of their own daughter's disappearance. Ronson says, quote, I called Disney. Their spokesperson tells me, If you talk to crew members, you'll know Rebecca's disappearance has been difficult and heartbreaking for everyone. And beyond that, they can say nothing much else, except the police in the Bahamas are also telling us the investigation is still ongoing. They have not shared a timeline with us either. Is it true that the telephone call Rebecca made shortly before vanishing was taped, I ask? That pertains to specific details about the investigation, and so it's not appropriate for us to share that kind of information, she replies. Is there anything else you can tell me, I ask? I can tell you we wish we knew what happened as much as anyone, she says. The officer in the Bahamas, Paul Roll, does not return my calls. End quote. After John Ronson returned from his trip, he received a call from one of Rebecca's good friends aboard the Disney Wonder, who was urged to call him by Rebecca's parents. Ronson refers to the woman as Melissa, but this is not her real name. He says, quote, "When did you last see Rebecca?" I ask her. "It was 11 p.m., the night before she went missing. We'd both just finished work, and she was trying to pull my false eyelashes off." She laughs. "She had her head on my knee, and we were chatting and messing about." "Where was this?" I ask. "In the secret corridor," she says. "There's a whole different world underneath the ship deck. We have parties down there, private showings of films. It's absolutely brilliant." Beck said, "Are you going to the bar?" I said, "Yeah," but I didn't for some reason. "And that was the last time I saw her." She pauses. "She was the most amazing little burst of energy. You were completely drawn to her. She loved life, bouncing around all the time. She was one of my best friends, but it could get a bit much." She laughs again. "You come in from a heavy night and she'd be zapping around everywhere, playing tricks on you. She's very mischievous." "Someone told me she'd had a fight with her partner," I say. "That ship absolutely seethes with rumors," Melissa says. "Yes, she was in a relationship and there were problems and it was upsetting her. It was a very, very intense relationship. It was great and then it was awful. They were both fiery, passionate personalities." "Do you think that's what the call was about?" "I can't think of any other reason why she'd have been upset and wandering around by herself at 6 a.m., Melissa says. "From what I've heard, she was on the phone to a mutual friend, not the girl she'd been having the relationship with," end quote. Melissa also explained to Ronson what she believes happened to Rebecca, or Bex, as she called her, saying, quote, "Bex was a bit of a risk taker. She was always pouring soap over people. Classic Bex. I was welcoming a family on board one time, and she came over and rugby tackled me to the ground." Melissa thinks she went to the crew pool at 6 a.m. to be alone, with no intention of harming herself. "She loved Deck 5. It's where we always used to go. I bet she climbed onto the wall and sat on the ledge in a I need to feel like I'm off the ship for a second kind of way. She wouldn't have thought, it's very high, I might fall. She'd have just sat on and thought, oh crap, what have I done, and fell." She pauses. "Security on that ship is ultra tight. You can't get on or off without your ID card. Down by the crew pool, there's HR offices and the crew gym, the crew office that deals with passports, money, documentation, and they're saying there's no CCTV cameras. But why would they suppress that, I ask? To try to protect the brand. If it was 6 a.m. and they were doing their job and watching the front, someone must have seen her go over. Or if they didn't, they're covering up why they didn't." She falls silent. Then she says, "Bex made hundreds of people happy. The passengers loved her. They all loved her. You'd think Disney would give something back. They owe it to her to find out what happened." End quote. So did Rebecca Coriam purposely take her own life? Was she perhaps sad and upset about how her relationship was going and couldn't cope with the fact that her girlfriend Tracy also had a boyfriend? Did she accidentally fall off the ship, swept away by a large wave? Or was someone else involved in her disappearance? Both Detective Paul Roll of the Royal Bahamian Police Force and the Disney Wonder concluded that Rebecca most likely fell off the ship when it came across a rogue wave, or committed suicide by purposely jumping off the ship. The rogue wave theory is highly possible, and rogue waves can be large enough to disrupt cruise ships. There's also something called bow slamming, which is when a boat encounters a large wave and the bow of the ship comes up out of the water, then forcefully slams back down, creating enough force to knock people off the sides of the ship. If this happened to Rebecca, she would most likely have died upon hitting the water because the force of falling from that high would be similar to hitting concrete. She could have also been knocked unconscious from the fall and then drowned. However, nobody else on the cruise ship knew of a rogue wave happening, and there was no evidence of one happening on the ship's log records. Although some passengers and crew members have said that the day she disappeared, the water was a bit choppy and the weather wasn't as nice as previous mornings. One reason the Disney Wonder and Detective role concluded that Rebecca must have fallen from Deck 5 was because that is where a single flip-flop of hers was found. However, both Rebecca's parents and several crew members close to Rebecca are all adamant that they do not recognize the sandal, and they do not believe it belonged to Rebecca. The shoe was also not even the same size as what Rebecca wore. Journalist John Ronson was also able to speak to Rebecca's friend Melissa about the flip-flops, and she said, quote, "They weren't her flip-flops. Mike and Anne showed them to me. They were too big. They weren't her style. They were pink and flowery and Hawaiian. I'd never seen her wear them. Why didn't Disney come to me or her girlfriend and say, 'Can you identify these as Bex's?' Instead, they put them in her room for when her parents got on board." End quote. Disney also suggests that if Rebecca didn't fall overboard, that she purposely jumped and ended her own life. And she certainly wouldn't be the first person to do this. Those who believe this theory point to the fact that Rebecca was having relationship problems and wasn't being shy about voicing her frustrations with her friends on the ship. She wasn't one to hide her emotions, and it was clear that her relationship was causing her great stress. There's also the footage of her talking on the phone with someone the morning of her disappearance. She appears to be upset by her body language seen in the footage, and another crew member even walked by and asked if she was okay because she physically appeared to be distraught. Perhaps whatever this phone call was about prompted Rebecca to take her own life and put an end to her heartbreak. Rebecca's parents and friends all say that she never showed any suicidal tendencies and was a very positive, outgoing, and happy person. Because Rebecca was known to wear her heart on her sleeve, those close to her believe she would have shared if she was depressed and that she had way too much to live for to take her own life. However, this is something we often hear in missing persons cases. The family and friends say that there's no way that they would have killed themselves. But as we know, people commit suicide all the time without ever voicing their mental health struggles with those close to them. Just because Rebecca did not have a history of depression or suicidal ideations does not mean that this theory can be ruled out. 6 years after Rebecca's disappearance, and with theories being thrown around involving her girlfriend Tracy Medley and her boyfriend Devin Hyde, Tracy decided to speak publicly about Rebecca for the first time. She says that the happy-go-lucky image painted by Rebecca's family just simply was not true. She claims that Rebecca was deeply unhappy and suffered from depression and often used recreational drugs to try and alter her mood. Tracy says that Rebecca's family actually was not supportive of the fact that she was a lesbian, which is something, to my knowledge, they have never spoken about publicly. Tracy believes that Rebecca did indeed take her own life by jumping off the ship. However, there are many who do not believe the claims made by Tracy Medley, and many criticize her for waiting 6 years before publicly speaking about Rebecca. Another theory that some believe is that Rebecca was the victim of human trafficking. 2 months after her disappearance, in May of 2011, the bank which Rebecca banked through informed her parents that there was activity on Rebecca's debit card. However, there would be no more activity on the card, and nothing ever came from this. Rebecca's uncle also tried to get into her Facebook account, but it said that the password had just recently been changed. Both of these events gave Rebecca's family hope that perhaps she was still alive and possibly being held by someone against her will. Then, a year after Rebecca disappeared, a woman emailed her parents claiming that she had just seen Rebecca in Venice, Italy, with an unknown man. All of Rebecca's belongings, including her ID and passport, were left behind on the ship. So this supposed sighting reinforces the theory for some that Rebecca was taken off the ship as a prisoner and could be living in Italy illegally and not on her own accord. Another theory is that Rebecca left the ship alive and purposefully left to start a new life. Some believe that she was trying to start new and fresh after her relationship with Tracy took a turn for the worst. Some speculate that maybe her parents did not approve of Rebecca being a lesbian and she wanted to go live on her own without their judgment. Some also believe that perhaps Rebecca left because she was afraid of something or someone. Many speculate that whoever she was talking to on the phone in the early hours of the day of her disappearance had maybe something to do with her going missing, and that perhaps this person didn't physically do anything to Rebecca, but that she needed to get away from them. To this day, Rebecca's parents suspect that she was the victim of foul play. Apparently, while visiting home to attend her grandfather's funeral, Rebecca told friends that she was afraid of being sexually assaulted on the ship because there were some people working with her that she did not trust. Her parents also claimed that when Disney gave them her personal belongings that were left behind in her cabin, that her favorite pair of shorts were ripped in the crotch area. They believe that perhaps Rebecca was sexually assaulted and murdered, or that she was assaulted, and when she threatened to report the person, they pushed her overboard. After a few years without any more answers, the Coriams hired their own investigator and worked with several government and military officials from the UK to help figure out what happened to their daughter. British parliamentarian Chris Matheson believes that Rebecca may have been murdered, and Bill Anderson, a maritime investigation coordinator in the UK, said, quote, "I am fully convinced that a sexual assault took place and they were aware of it on board the vessel," end quote. There is also the belief that Tracy and Devin assaulted Rebecca and that the threesome wasn't really Rebecca's idea like Tracy claimed, but that she was instead assaulted and forced into a sexual act that she was not comfortable with. Tracy has publicly said that Rebecca killed herself and wasn't the happy person her family portrayed, but many believe that she is only saying this to protect herself and find it odd that it took her 6 years after Rebecca's disappearance to come forward with this information. Tracy's then-boyfriend Devin Hyde has never spoken publicly about Rebecca's disappearance, and when interviewed on the ship afterward, claimed to have no idea what happened to her and apparently had a very casual and aloof attitude when talking to the detective. There is also the possibility that Rebecca simply had an accident that ended her life. This could have been from sitting somewhere she shouldn't have and slipping. After his trip on the Disney Wonder, journalist John Ronson believes that Rebecca went jogging that morning and slipped and somehow fell overboard. He also said that he didn't believe that alcohol was a factor in the accident because he tried the drinks on the ship and said they were extremely weak and watered down. However, Rebecca would have been drinking at the cruise bar, which could have definitely made stronger drinks since it was the crew running it. And even drinking several watered-down cocktails can still make you drunk. So the alcohol factor definitely cannot be ruled out. When John Ronson was aboard the ship, he spoke to a crew member who said that Rebecca fell from the deck with the employee pool, not deck 5 like Disney claimed. So there's also the possibility that Rebecca climbed up onto the wall surrounding the pool so she could look out at the ocean, and she fell. With so many different theories floating around and conflicting details and information, it's hard to find anything in this case that everyone can agree on. But there is something, and that is that Disney is not providing all of the information regarding the disappearance of Rebecca Coriam. Some believe that they just haven't given all of the knowledge they have, while many believe Disney is actively trying to completely cover up her disappearance and are trying to erase it from their reputation. While Disney markets themselves as being wholesome family fun, they've had their fair share of problematic behavior and business practices throughout the years. Many believe that the entire Disney company and brand is corrupt. Over the years, Disney has had numerous lawsuits and controversies, from covering up sexual assaults and negligence of safety protocols leading to accidents and deaths at their theme parks, to racism, unfair treatment of staff, and animal cruelty. It seems as though Disney will do whatever or pay whatever they can in order to maintain their squeaky clean reputation. Many believe that whatever happened to Rebecca was fully or partially Disney's fault. Some believe that Disney purposefully chose to say Deck 5 was where Rebecca fell overboard because it's actually the most safe. So they can say, well, if she fell overboard, it must have been her fault because, as you can see, there aren't any safety hazards on Deck 5. This area also happened to not have security cameras installed, which can either prove or disprove that Rebecca fell overboard there. So it is easy to say, oh well, there's no way to tell for sure, so let's just move on. Various crew members have also spoken out since Rebecca's disappearance and said that the ship is covered in CCTV cameras, and they do not believe at all that what happened to Rebecca would not have been caught on at least one camera, and that Disney is purposefully hiding the footage or most likely has had it destroyed. There are even some who have gone as far as to suggest that Tracy Medley, Rebecca's girlfriend on the Disney Wonder, was paid by Disney to lie about the relationship in order to cover up any negligence on behalf of Disney, and to instead make it look like Rebecca was heartbroken and depressed. Rebecca's friend Melissa told journalist John Ronson, quote, "Disney swears they've told us everything they know, which is that they don't know anything. But most of us think, bullshit, someone must know something. Someone is covering something up," end quote. She believes that Disney covered up whatever happened to Rebecca to protect their brand and image. Even if there was no foul play and Rebecca really did just slip and fall, or took her own life. Disney would have to admit that they either didn't have proper safety requirements met, or that one of their employees working for the happiest company in the world maybe really wasn't all that happy. In 2014, 3 years after Rebecca's disappearance, her family sued Disney for $75,000, claiming that Disney failed in their duty of care. An article by BBC News said, quote, "Mr. and Mrs. Corium claimed that Disney gave false and misleading information about the ship's position when it alerted the Coast Guard. They alleged that Disney's security to monitor crew members and passengers was inadequate, as was its surveillance for a person falling overboard. Mr. and Mrs. Corium also claimed that the company breached established protocols for a person overboard," end quote. In return, Disney's spokesperson said, quote, "This incident has been investigated by the authorities. The claims are without merit, as we will demonstrate in court," end quote. In 2016, Disney settled with the Corium family for an undisclosed amount. Okay, so what really happened to Rebecca Corium? As with a lot of my episodes, I went into this one with a very brief knowledge of this case and had my own opinion on what happened, and it completely changed once I started actually diving into the information. Personally, I believe that Rebecca had some sort of accident that caused her death, and that Disney is actively trying to cover it up and forget about it because it would mean that their ship isn't as safe and as happy, maybe, as they advertise it to be. This ship that is supposed to be one of the happiest places on Earth, where you can, you know, relax with your family, most likely had a dangerous location on it where it was possible for someone to go overboard. And it's probably possible that people can go overboard from many places on the ship. I tend to believe that Rebecca actually did fall from the deck with the employee swimming pool. I have posted photos of this area to my social media and website, and you can see that the pool area had the same wall surrounding it as the rest of the ship, which I've read is about 6 feet high. I believe that Rebecca was possibly upset and frustrated with how things were going with Tracy, and if they did have a threesome, she was probably feeling a little jealous and, you know, maybe left out of the relationship, and that she wanted to get away and have some time alone. I could see a very sad, heartbroken 24-year-old who is very physically fit wanting to climb up and sit on the wall to get a better view of the ocean. Being on a ship like that for weeks at a time is most likely very suffocating and confining, and she could have just wanted to feel alone and free for a moment. And sitting up on that wall would make it so that there was nothing between her and the fresh ocean air and the view. The water could have been a bit choppy and she may have slipped, or the wall could have been wet. There is also the big possibility that Rebecca was still intoxicated from partying at the crew bar just a few hours before this. Honestly, this is something that I can see myself doing at 24, especially if I was drunk. I also think it's a possibility that she did take her own life. As I mentioned before, just because someone portrays themselves as a happy and positive person does not mean that they really feel that way and that they aren't struggling. And in cases like this, the parents pretty much always are adamant that their child would not have killed themselves and insist that they were happy. And I think that this is just a natural thing to do as a parent. Of course, no parent wants to think that their child was depressed enough or struggling with mental health issues enough to take their own life, but it happens all the time. I have covered several cases that involve parents who just can't come to terms with the reality that their child committed suicide or was part of a tragic accident, and instead spend the rest of their lives searching for answers or sometimes blaming others. In cases like this, people often also point to the fact that the person was making plans for the future, which indicates that they were, you know, not suicidal. In Rebecca's cabin, amongst her belongings, her parents found tickets to Disneyland Paris, where she was going to visit with her family after she got off the ship and was supposedly very excited about going. Some say that if she had something like this to look forward to and plans for her life after the Disney Wonder, such as her career and trips, that she wouldn't have killed herself. And sadly, that just isn't how it works. People can absolutely have fun and exciting things happening in their lives and things to look forward to, but still be suicidal and depressed. A trip to Disneyland cannot change the chemicals in one's brain that lead to depression and suicidal tendencies. So although I don't have this huge inkling that Rebecca killed herself, it is definitely a possibility. And again, Disney could have wanted to cover this up because it would mean that they would have to admit that someone working for them was unhappy and struggling, which goes against everything they stand for. Researching this case also got me interested in cruise line crime rates in general. While crime rates on cruise ships are relatively low, more incidents are being reported every year, with sexual assaults and theft being the two most reported crimes at sea. In fact, just between the summers of 2018 and 2019, reports of sexual assaults on cruise ships went up 67%. Officials also believe that many crimes go unreported. It is very difficult to find information about crime rates on cruise ships because, like most vacation destinations, cruise ships advertise themselves as, you know, floating paradises where nothing can go wrong and you're able to eat and drink and be merry and gamble and dance and relax. They don't want to be honest with their crime statistics and possibly scare away potential customers. Also, like most vacation destinations or resorts, cruise ships do not do background checks on passengers, and anyone is allowed to sail, including registered sex offenders and people with criminal backgrounds. But unlike a normal vacation spot, once you're out at sea, you are isolated and confined with strangers, with nowhere to go if you are in danger. There is also the issue of whose jurisdiction a crime falls under when a ship is in international waters, leaving many crimes in the hands of inexperienced officials who may not make it a priority, such as in this case of Rebecca Corium, where one detective was sent to a ship with more than 2,000 passengers, and he was there for less than one day. And Rebecca Corium isn't the only person who has disappeared on a cruise ship. From my research, I learned of 10 other people who have gone missing while on cruise ships, with the most well-known being the case of 23-year-old Amy Lynn Bradley, who went missing on the Royal Caribbean cruise ship in 1998 and is believed to have been kidnapped and sold into sexual slavery. So while people going missing on cruise ships is not common, it is definitely not unheard of. Okay, so that's going to be it for today's episode. I know it was kind of a long one, so thank you for sticking with me. I'm so parched right now talking for an hour just drinking this cocktail. I need some water. This is such an awful case and sadly one that I really don't think will ever solidly come to an end for the Corium family. I can't imagine having something like this happen to your child where you get absolutely no closure and just have to spend, you know, the rest of your life without any real answers and trying to fill in the holes for yourself. So I really do feel for her family and her friends in this case. That just has to be awful. And, you know, she was so young. She did have a bright future ahead of her. And no matter what happened to her, it's just a tragedy for everyone involved. As always, I would love to hear what you guys think. Did Rebecca Corium take her own life? Did she have an accident? Or did something maybe more sinister happen to her? Was she maybe possibly murdered? Or is she maybe still alive somewhere out there? I would love to know your thoughts. You can find the show on Facebook and Instagram at Weird on the Rocks Podcast, Twitter at Weird_Rocks, and the website weirdontherocks.weebly.com. Thank you for supporting the show and for listening today. I appreciate every single one of you. And until next time, cheers and stay weird.